part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
There are a lot of things taking place at the moment prophetically, and this one will leave you jaw dropped, okay? Professor Walter Fyth responds to the Sunday Law Family Day promotions that are made by the Heritage Foundation in America. And in this one, you're going to hear some things that are going to be like, whoa, I had no idea. When I tell you, you're going to be like, Hebanda, what do you mean now? Yeah, let's do some what do you mean now this morning, looking at the response that was made from South Africa to the claims. It's more than just claims, bro. It's, at this point, like when they say that the tectonic shifts plates are moving, they are shifting. Yeah, you need to know what time it is. If you don't know what time it is, you need to get your watch ready, because, whoa, the midnight oil, it's burning. Listen to this one.
The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been warning about this for more than 160 years. And within this church, we have liberal organizations that mock the more conservative one and call their rhetoric conspiracy theories and all kinds of things.
Some of them have called us numerous times conspiracy theorists, and I believe maybe even on the Project 2025 that we've been dealing with, but it seems like somewhere a wasp flew in and maybe stung some of them.
Well, I'm glad that it's happening. Absolutely. So I'm not knocking it at all. So Adventist Today, which is a very liberal think tank, says that the Heritage Foundation wants Sunday laws for all faith, no exceptions. Heritage Foundation reports calls for human form Sunday laws, and they are speaking up against it. It's amazing that when Project 2025 was there, they were stumm, silent as the grave. But something woke them up. I hope everybody else wakes up as well. The Heritage Foundation proposes Sunday day of rest. Adventist Church issues warning. Is this the second siege?
Martin? I believe it is.
The first siege came when Alfonso T. Jones gave that remarkable speech in 1888, which prevented the first siege, the first Sunday laws coming to the United States.
Under Pope Leo XIII.
Under Pope Leo XIII, and now we have another Leo rising, and he wants to set his mark upon the United States of America. Fascinating, and not only the United States of America, but the whole world, because everybody has to accept the mark of the beast, right? I'm also very gratified to see that the North American Division has also issued a statement. Sunday rest proposal raises troubling religious liberty concerns. And so there are people that are raising their voices. It's the voice of alarm. It's the beginning of the loud cry.
Amen. And that's why when we started, we ask people, help us to make this visible to people. Shame.
Yes. Now, how serious is this? You know, Martin, this is not just a flash in the pan. For the last months, the labor unions have been preparing people behind the scenes. For four Sundays in a row, the U.S. Department of Labor has proclaimed the following. Happy Sunday, America. Happy Sunday. Enjoy your Sundays. Why are they sending these things out, Martin? The Department of Labor.
Of course, because they will be the ones that bring about a time such as never was.
All right. Now, under which papacy? Now, this is so fascinating.
Yes.
Under which papacy did the labor unions actually start?
Leo XIII.
And which papacy said that they are going to complete that work?
Leo XIV. Rerum Novarum.
And here the labor unions are asking the people to rest on Sunday. Happy Sunday, America. Enjoy your Sunday.
This is on their Facebook page. You can go and have a look.
It's their Facebook page. Yes. So 4 Sundays in a row, they are sending this out. And the Heritage Foundation comes with this button. Here. Not near.
No.
It's here.
It's here.
We've been waiting for this for 160 years plus. So, Martin, let's make it quite clear. What is the clash of minds? I wonder which organization calls themselves Clash of Minds, Martin. It's such a presumptuous name. Which system is going to clash with which system? Which two mindsets are going to clash? Hopefully the one has a biblical basis.
A true biblical basis,
and the other one has a traditionalist basis.
Also,
in vain.
Also Christian.
And does the one consider the other Christian?
No.
It's also interesting that they say that the Dark Ages was actually a golden age. Behind every prominent leader, there stands a Chaldean, a Jesuit. So in these Protestant organizations, there are also Chaldeans, Jesuits, controlling the mindsets. Listen to what this man has to say about this golden age.
The majority right now would say, well, the Dark Ages were terrible, you know, and they're burning witches, you know, and everybody is oppressed by Christianity and by, you know, the clergy, and it was just this horrible, horrible time. Whereas at that time, the majority would disagree. The majority during those centuries would say, no, Christendom is great. We love Christ. We love his church. We're making incredible advancements. We've pushed back on the darkness and on driven literal demonic spirits out of Northern European tribes and, you know, places and the Americas and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and making incredible progress, incredible discoveries and charting new maps and innovation and inventions. And so I'm of the persuasion that I think that the whole idea of the Dark Ages is a psyop. I think that the Dark Ages was actually a golden age, and that the Great Enlightenment is actually the dark spell that has come over the West, and that if anything, we're in the Dark Ages now. Here's 5 criteria for voting. Number one, America should be a Christian nation. I'm a Christian nationalist. And so, yes, I would require a public profession of faith that you're a Christian in order to vote. So my first requirement before getting into anything else is faith. It's religion. You should be a Christian. Well, what kind of Christian, Joel? A creedal, historic creed Christian. You should publicly affirm, you should have to publicly affirm the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. Well, what about Catholics? Could they vote? Yes. Well, what about Eastern Orthodox? Yes. What about Baptists and Anglicans and Episcopalians and Presbyterians? Yes. What about Mormons? No. It's a cult. No. No, they don't believe that Jesus is the creator. They believe that he is the first created. They believe he's the first created, but not creator. They're non-Trinitarian. No, of course, they can't vote. They're not Christian. Jehovah's Witness, what about them? Nope, they're not Christian. Seventh-day Adventists? Nope, they're not Christian. It is a cult. Okay, but what about Muslims? No way. What about Jews? No way. Hindus? No way.
Now, Martin, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been warning about this for more than 160 years. And within this church, we have liberal organizations.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it for yourself. Yeah, man, what are your thoughts? +27734703520. Just hearing that, what came to mind for you? So, you know, for me, firstly, let's just talk about just a little bit quickly, just kancane, ne, about Rerum Novarum. It's called an encyclical, which is an open letter that is written. This one was written by Pope Leo XIII, and it basically speaks to the working class. it focuses on the working class people, and it yes supports trade unions. Why did they bring it up as an issue? Because they were saying how trade unions wishing people happy Sunday, when you know a different department altogether is the one that has been saying happy Sunday to people because you know they are family oriented. Where do they come in? I guess they want to be family oriented. Very interesting, people who stood up for people's working rights. And you know what? That's the thing about this world that we live in that makes things very tricky. It's that you'll find there's an issue, then someone comes in, steps in to help, you know, the people who are being oppressed. And then it turns out that the person who has stepped in to help the people who are being oppressed is also somehow being used in the background for other, you know, nasty or unknown, I don't know what words to use, but they you know, they've got their own motives. Yeah, they've got their own motives that are not known to the people who are within the situation. So, and that's the other thing about the you know, working conditions. We can be honest and say that most people's working conditions over hundreds of years have not necessarily been good ones. A lot of people have been and continue even to this day to be oppressed by institutions or, you know, your employers. And so you rely on these major institutions because they come in big numbers of many different people. They've got supporters already to bargain for you, to negotiate for you, to mediate on your behalf. And, you know, that sounds like a really good thing to have that on your side. It's just we live in a world where, yeah, no, we have to make tough decisions about stuff. I would never personally judge a person for, you know, maybe going for a union or not going for a union the same way I personally can't judge a person for voting or not voting because our understandings are just so unique, you know, of politics and religion, you know, the spiritual side of things, your understanding of what really is happening in the world. Do you really believe that there are spiritual factors that impact decisions on the ground, or are you completely, you don't believe that at all, and you're just here dealing with the human beings on the ground and you expect better from them, and you get very, very frustrated when they don't deliver what they said they would. People are different. It literally depends on a lot of different factors, what you know and therefore what you believe. So yeah, this is the situation that we find. And I think for me, at the end of the day, what I'm seeing is dictatorship is on this doorstep. Yeah, maybe. I mean, what happened to human rights? Are they no longer inherent? Human beings want to rule other human beings. That's what I'm seeing over here. Listen to that. The young man speaking there is talking about how only Christians should then vote. But then again, someone who is more conservative might talk about why would you want to vote anyway? Because, I mean, who does voting serve? It was never God's ideal for us to have kings ruling over human beings in this world, you know. We were supposed to be a theocracy where God is the one who is in charge. And then we fought that. We fought that and we said, no, we want a king. And we were given Saul. And that was the beginning of all of this. And today we have an institution or, you know, a system that we call democracy. And sometimes you can wonder what really is democracy. Is this democracy, this that we are living right here? Is this what we call democracy? Yeah, it's tricky. I don't know. Judge Judy, what do you say? How do you see this one? But yeah, Barry, some of y'all are a cult. Some of y'all, you guys are cults. And cults, just like the witches, cannot have a say. I know, kunzima shame. It's tough.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.